This evening I'm going to speak on the Savior God raised. The Savior God raised. The fifth day is the title of this message. The fifth day. Fish, birds, and blessing. This is the first time we read the word blessing in the scriptures. Now on the first day there was light. The second day, the expanse of the firmament, the heavens. The third day, dry land and plants. The fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The fifth day, fish, birds, and the first time we read of this most important word, blessing. Blessing. And God blessed them. The sea creatures, the fish, the plankton, the great whales, the seas teeming with life, and the birds filling the air, filling the heavens. Now this is moving life. There was plant life before this, but this is moving life, creatures who moved. Now what I think is very interesting is before the fall, there were no animals killing other animals for food. Tigers were vegetarians. Lions were vegetarians. There was no death. Look in verse 29 of Genesis 1. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. All they ate was plants. I think that's glorious. There was no death. Now somebody says, does that mean it's wrong to kill meat now? No, the Lord said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." These animals were provided for food, but before the fall, there was no death, no prey, no hunters. And then we're introduced to this concept, God blessed them. Now, this is something I am very interested in. I want God's blessing. He has infinite power to bless. And if he's for you, who can be against you? God's blessing, God blessed them. And this a blessing came on the fifth day. Now I don't have any question that there is significance to the numbers in the scripture. One is the number of unity or union. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Two has something to do with witness. Two witnesses. One's not enough. There must be two. Three, the number of perfected holiness. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Four is totality. Four seasons make up the year. The four living creatures. I'm going to skip five right now. Six is the number of man created on the sixth day. And you'll remember in the book of Revelation, the number 666, the number of a man, which I believe refers to failure upon failure upon failure. That's man. Seventh is completion. Completed. 12 is the number of the people of God. The 12 apostles, the 12 patriarchs, the 4 and 24 elders. And the number 5 is associated with grace. Spiritual blessings. Grace. in the tabernacle. The dimensions of the tabernacle are divisible by five. There were five types of offerings, all to illustrate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the five stones of David. Five stones. Why five? I preached the message on that once. Got one of my favorite letters out of this message. It's been 10 or 12 years ago. Five stones of David. Now, I just used the number five to introduce the five golden links of salvation, Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, number one, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Five. And I got a letter from a man that said, that was the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And he said, the only thing more stupid is your southern redneck voice. And I thought, well, he heard something. He heard something. Five, the day of grace. This is where we're introduced to this word, blessing. Now, blessing is one of the key words of the covenant of grace. Now, there are only two covenants. The covenant of works, I think it can be simply deduced by going into the Garden of Eden. I mean, it means salvation somehow dependent upon what you do. I think of Adam being placed in the garden, had everything you could want. Everything was great. He didn't even have a sinful nature to deal with. He had an innocent nature. Everything was great. All he wanted to eat, him and Eve, oh, what a marriage. What more could you want? One law, though. Don't eat. And he broke it. That's the covenant of works. And if you put salvation dependent upon you in any aspect, it works. And then there's the covenant of grace. Salvation dependent upon what Christ does. About what God does for you. It's having God's favor. It's having God's blessing. Now, we're talking about spiritual blessings. We're not just talking about material blessings. When most people think of blessing, they think of health and wealth. Well, you can have both of those and have be under God's curse. And you can have neither of those and have God's richest blessing. The spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. But look in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. He made a difference with Noah, didn't he? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The rest of the world didn't, but Noah did. Look in Genesis 12. Now the Lord, this is when we're introduced to Abraham. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Look in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and he blessed, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. I love that passage of scripture in Psalm 32, quoted once again in Romans 4. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. What blessedness. You know, the Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in this thing of salvation, he's always the more blessed. He's the giver. We are the receivers. Now, if I would understand God's blessing, I think the scripture gives us such a beautiful illustration of this. In Genesis chapter 39, I would like you to turn with me there. Remember, these stories in the Old Testament are given to teach us the gospel. They're not just interesting or weird stories, but they're all given to teach us the gospel. Now look here in Genesis 39. This is after Joseph was sold by his brethren. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptians, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he, Potiphar, made him overseer over all his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Why? For Joseph's sake. Now, there isn't anything about this Egyptian to recommend him to God, but the Lord blessed his house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had, in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now here's another way to translate that whole story. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, Potiphar didn't get this blessing because he had some kind of good karma. You know, what goes around and comes around, he does good and then he ends up getting good stuff. That's what most people's religion is, karma. You do good, you'll get good. You do bad, what goes around and comes around is going to happen to you. Boy, I'm so thankful the Lord saves for Christ's sake. I'm so thankful he forgives for Christ's sake. And that is God's reason of blessing for any sinner for Christ's sake. Turn to Numbers chapter 6. This is the great priestly benediction. Numbers chapter 6. Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Numbers 6:22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee. Not the Lord will bless you if you can just receive it. No conditions that we must first meet. The Lord bless thee. Not the Lord offers you blessings, but it's up to you to take it. You know, that kind of blessing won't do me or you any good because of the sinfulness of our hearts. If he doesn't just bless me, if he's got to wait till I can do something in order to get that blessing, if he's just going to bless me, only if I won't do it. You see, there's something called total depravity and total inability. I won't want it, and I wouldn't take it if I could. I have to have his sovereign blessing. The Lord bless thee. Lord bless me. Lord bless me. Now look what he says next. And keep thee. Do you know I know that if he doesn't keep me, I'll fall away if he doesn't keep me. I have to have him to preserve me. I need to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The Lord keep thee. Now, a blessing that doesn't keep me won't do me any good. And look what he says next. Verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Oh, I want his face. Who he is according to you, as he reveals himself in his word through the gospel. Oh, I want his face in favor to shine upon me. Don't you? Isn't that what you want? And look what it says next. And be gracious unto thee. Now that's what I need. I need the Lord to be gracious to me. Don't you cry out for this blessing? This great benediction of the high priest? And then it says in verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. What that means is we have his presence. I need the Lord's presence. I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need his presence. If I don't have his presence, I don't have anything. And give thee peace. I can't make it my peace with God. Somebody says, if you made your peace with God, can't do it. I need Christ to make my peace with God. And I need for him to give me this peace. What's it say next? And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Jehovah Tsidkenu. This is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Same name. And I will bless them. Not I will if, I will. I love the I wills and they shalls of the scripture. I will bless them. Turn to Ephesians 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he is the blessed one. God the Father is the blessed God the Father. God the Son is the blessed God the Son. God the Spirit is the blessed God the Spirit. Oh, the infinite blessedness of the God of glory. I love to think of before there was time, before there was creation, the eternal God, the three persons of the blessed Trinity, blessing one another. You know, he didn't create the world because he needed anything. He wasn't lonely. He was utterly blessed in himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But because he infinitely decided to do it, he created the universe, the blessed God. And look what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind is, who is the us? He hath blessed us. Is this a generic us? Does it mean all men without exception? Look in verse 4. Here's the us. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's talking about the elect. That's talking about those he chose in Christ before the world began. What a spiritual blessing to be chosen by God. If you're saved, It's because God chose you to be saved before the foundation of the world. Now, what kind of blessing is that? We're bound to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. This is God being God. I like saying that. This is just God being God. I love the God of election. Somebody says, I don't. Well, I do. That's the only way I can answer that. I do. Look in, He's chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him. What a blessing to be holy, to be without blame. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now that's the us. That's a reference to every believer, the elect of God, those for whom Christ died. Now, if that us is a generic us, His blessing is meaningless. But this is the us that He chose, and I love the way He said spiritual blessings. Material blessings, well, I don't even know that you can call them blessing. It might be a curse. It might be you got so much that who needs God? It might be you're so healthy that who needs God? I think of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, you know this health, wealth stuff that preachers bring about, you know, if you got God's blessing, you're going to... No. What about rich man and Lazarus? Who had God's blessing? Lazarus, the man so sick and ended up dying in poverty. Who was under God's curse? The rich man who fared sumptuously in purple and fine linen. Now, spiritual blessings, like the ones I just read of, being chosen, being without blame before God, being holy and unblameable, being accepted in the Beloved, being predestinated in the love of God to be sons, on and on, the forgiveness of sins. These are spiritual blessings. And it says He hath blessed us. Not He will if, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many blessings do we have? All. A-double-L, all. Every blessing God has to give, every believer possesses in its fullness, because it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you were in the ark, I'll say for you, ain't no way you could be destroyed by the flood. If you were in the house with the blood over the door, how safe were you? And I've got to say this, and I don't... What if you committed some horrible sin that very day? Were you still safe? Answer that. Were you still safe? You were in the house with the blood over the door. God said, when I see the blood. Oh, thank God for that. That's what He was looking for. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, the blessing of God is in Christ. That's why Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness. I don't want to have anything to do with that, which is of the law, which is according to my personal obedience. But that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the righteousness I want to be found in. I want His righteousness to be my personal righteousness. I want to be found in Him. That's where all of God's blessing, that's where all of God's mercy, that's where all of God's favor is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, His blessing is eternal. Come, our Lord said, ye blessed of my Father. He's talking about judgment day, and He's giving us a picture of what's going to take place. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. His blessings are sovereign. Psalm 65:4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now, the only reason any sinner approaches unto God seeking mercy and grace and favor is because God chose them to do that. God's blessings are eternal. God's blessings are sovereign. And listen to this. God's blessing is irreversible. Turn with me for a moment to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. Beginning in verse 18. This is Balaam speaking to Balak, who sought to get Balaam to curse Israel. Verse 18. And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, that he should change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king. I know what that shout is too. He cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Now, when it says he hath not beheld or seen perverseness in Israel, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, How? Understand this. If you are a believer, if you look to Christ only, you're one of these people being described. He does not see iniquity or perverseness in you. How? There's nothing there to see. That is how effectually Christ removed your sin. There is nothing there to see. Not he just overlooks it, but me and you both know it's still there. No, there is nothing there to see. It's what the Bible calls justification. If you're justified by God, that means you have no guilt before God. That means you stand before God perfect. Perfect in His comeliness, in His beauty, in His righteousness. And that is irreversible. I love to think of that publican crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And what does the Lord say about that man? He says, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified. Justified. Rather than the other. God's blessing. Whom do men say that I am? Well, they say good things. Whom say ye that I am? You remember what Peter said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did the Lord say to him? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to thee. But my Father which is in heaven. I love what John said in Revelation 14, 13. He said, write. Put this in scripture so everybody will be able to read it. Write this down. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Best day of your life will be your death if you're in the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labor. Now, what's that talking about? Does that mean, oh, they're working so hard for Christ and witnessing and trying to build the kingdom and now they get to rest from all that? That's foolishness. This is talking about the labor of an evil nature that they're bearing right now that still is with them. Can you imagine having rest from that, not having a sinful nature anymore? No longer being a sinner. Not even remember what it's like. And he says, their works do follow them. They don't come out front as the cause of salvation, nor do they walk alongside as evidence of salvation or a grant of assurance. But they're in the back. And every believer, there's going to be works that prove they really believe what they said they did. They're in the back. Maybe they can't even see him, but the Lord does. The Lord said to each of the seven churches, first off, I know thy works. I know thy works. Now, what does this, I'm going to close with this. What does this blessed person look like? God blessed them. I love the way that he waits to the fifth day to give us this word. But it's one of the key words in Scripture, God's blessing. What does this blessed person look like? This person that God has blessed. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I love the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount tells us what a believer is. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Who is this poor in spirit? Someone who right now, present tense, has nothing in themselves to bring before God and think he can accept it. They have nothing. Not they used to have nothing, they have nothing now. All they have is Christ. He's something, but they have nothing. Blessed. If that's you, oh, how blessed by God you are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, that's mourning over your sin. And that's not you used to before God saved you, but now you've got things down pat so well that everything's great. No, you're mourning over your sin right now. There's never a time when you cannot say with David, my sin is ever before me. And this concept of mourning, when do you mourn over someone? When they're dead. Now, when they're alive and you have some hope, oh, you pray, you ask the Lord to do something for them, and you hope that perhaps they'll be preserved. You're praying. You might be scared, but you're praying. You haven't lost hope, but you mourn when there's nothing you can do to bring them back. Now, there is never for any believer an excuse over their sin. Well, you know, if God sovereignly let me do it, no, you don't say anything like that. It's all part of God's purpose. You don't say anything like that. You mourn over your sin because you know you can't do anything about it. And you mourn, like you mourn over a dead person. What about that mourning? They, and only they, shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Here's the person God has blessed, that meek person. Now, what is meekness? Meekness is that attitude toward God. Listen carefully. Meekness is that attitude toward God that believes whatever happens, God sent it, and it's right. That's meekness before God. God reigns, God rules, God is in control. And whatever he does with me or anybody else is right because he is God. Do you believe that? Blessed are you. God has blessed you. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, you know when I'm hungry? When I don't have anything in my stomach. And I'm hungry. Now, when I got plenty in my stomach, I'm not hungry anymore. But when I feel in and of myself hunger, I have to have food from without to satisfy that. This is a hungering and a thirsting after his righteousness. I can't produce a righteousness. I can't satisfy my own hunger. And I hunger and thirst to be found in him. It's exactly what Paul said when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. They shall be filled. What's he say next? Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now here's how that works. You know mercy. You know his mercy to you. You'll show mercy. Someone who is not merciful is lost. Blessed are the merciful. Remember, this is the Lord describing what a believer is. Poor. I'm glad he started there, aren't you? Poor. Mourn. Meek. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Merciful. Having obtained mercy, you give mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, that one used to always bother me because I thought my heart's anything but pure. It's filled with iniquity and wickedness and sinfulness. And how could I say, take this to myself, blessed are the pure in heart? Well, I know this. It's only the pure heart that sees the sinfulness. You know, a lost man doesn't really understand sin. He really doesn't. But the pure in heart, that heart given in the new nature that does not sin, that's pure. And it's that heart that knows it must be saved purely by grace. It's that heart that knows it must be saved purely by Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. Now, Christ made my peace. I want to preach the gospel peace, and I want to be a peacemaker. Every believer is. The Lord said that. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, here's the last one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you do something good, do something that the world would call righteous, they'll put it in the paper, you'll get on the internet, people will praise you. And I'm glad you did something good. That's a good thing. I'm glad. But that ain't what this is talking about. You see, you'll be praised for that. You're persecuted for maintaining that the righteousness of Jesus Christ the Lord is the only righteousness there is. There is no other righteousness but the righteousness of Christ. All human righteousness is as filthy rags. Can't take that too far. Now, I'm looking at some nice people, some fine people, all that stuff, people I admire. I mean that. I admire you. But I know you because I know myself. In and of ourselves, we're nothing but filthy rags. Amen? You believe that? It's so. Now, this is the person that has experienced God's blessing. And this is what I want. Lord, bless me. Oh, His infinite power to bless. Lord, bless me for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Lord, would You bless us and keep us and make Your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. And let the light of Thy countenance be upon us. Give us peace. And place Thy name upon us. And bless us. Oh Lord, bless us. Don't pass us by. Bless us for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen.